Father God, Lord, thank you for today. And right now we just ask you to bring everyone back from lunch. We know they're going to be tired and, you know, wanting to close their eyes. But let's have fun today to learn how to bring others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, so we lightly touched on the cards real quick before I jump into surveys. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or anything about following up the cards? Or was it pretty clear? Or would you like us to go over it a little bit more in depth? I mean, speak up now or forever hold your peace.
I got one. The do's and don'ts of knocking. Should I knock like this?
Oh. Especially not in the trailer park.
And should I say...
Your life will get shot.
I know you're in there. I see you. Should I do any of those things?
No.
No, and that's why he's saying no doing it in a trailer park.
So let me tell you a story. Our former conference president, Mike Hewitt, was being trained by a wonderful lady in Pennsylvania.
Mike the best is boss ever, right?
Yeah, Lillian Torres. And Mike is a former police officer, so she takes him out door knocking. And Mike goes up to the first door, and he's like... and she's like... Calm down. We're not here to arrest them. We just want to share the gospel with them. And then she told us that he was looking in the window and saying, I know they're in there.
I could see them. Yeah. You hear them.
So we never want to do that.
And yeah, actually stay away from their front window if you can. You don't want to, you know, be creeping
them out.
Yeah,
I have a nice little...
Take two steps back and we're good.
And then you take two steps back from the door because I don't want them to feel intimidated, especially with COVID going around. Go ahead and give them that space. Take two steps back and that way you're far away. And then if they invite you as you're handling things or whatever, then you can do it. But the main thing we learned right before lunch is we're going with confidence because these people already signed up for Bible study. So you're not there to ask them if they're interested. I had a guy, another guy I was training with, and he said, man, I didn't get any Bible studies. Everybody wants me to mail it to them. And I said, well, that seems like a problem. What are you saying at the door? He said, oh, I knock on the door, and I say, I'm here with your Bible study. Would you like me to teach you? Would you like me to mail it to you or drop it off? And what do you think everybody chose?
Mail.
Mail, of course. That's the most non-available. Yeah, just mail it to me. I'll see you later. That's not even a choice. And when I knock on a door, I'm not there to give them a choice because they already signed up. So the choice is, when would you like to start? And I'm super excited to study with you. And so if you are excited, then they're going to be excited. And that rubs off. That works in relationships too. If I'm in a good mood, the people around me is going to be in a good mood. If I'm depressed, I'm going to drag them down.
All right, I'm going to come to you. Just have a mic ready, please, Clayton.
Thank you. My husband and I have done this, but I don't remember what the interest cards were from, but a lot of the people that we went to see, they said, I thought we were going to get this in the mail. We didn't give them the choice. They just thought it was going to come from the mail. So I was curious, I've been curious to know how it's advertised. So what is it that they see?
I have run into that a little bit. So what they have changed the advertising now to where it plainly says in-home Bible studies. And so, but yeah, that's that. You will have people say that, and you'll have people say, I didn't fill that out. You'll have a few say, I didn't send that in. And you know what I say when I say that? Somebody who loves you very much must have filled it out for you. And I'm so excited to be able to begin
these studies. I know who did it.
And I had a lady tell me, I know who did it. She said, I know who did it. It was my no good brother. He's been trying to get me to go back to church. And if he keeps this up, I'm not ever going back to church. And I said, you know what will show him? You start learning more about the Bible than he knows. I'll come each week and teach you, and that'll teach him a lesson. And that took care of it. So you always got to be ready to give an answer for your faith. And you know, people will ask you questions. I know there's a fear. What if somebody asks me something that I don't know? And you know what I say? There's people ask me things I don't know sometimes. And I say, you know, that's a very good question. I don't know, but I'll get back to you with the answer. They will respect that more than you fumbling around trying to make up an answer. If you just be honest and say, I don't know, that's a good question. When I was doing the evangelistic meeting, I think somebody asked a question that I didn't know, and Dr. LaVos was able to stand up and save the day, because I was like, wow, wait a minute, I've never been asked that. And Dr. LaVos is like, hey, right here, the Bible says, and I was like, hey, thank God for Dr. LaVos being there. He taught me something that day.
So going on with your question, the problem with the cards we used to have is it didn't give you an option. It just said, here, have this free gift, basically, and that's it. So now we are being more, what's the word I'm looking for, intentional to write in-home Bible study. Pastor Chris created a card when we were in Pennsylvania that it said it, free in-home Bible study for you. Those were the most successful cards we've ever had, that I've had. Now we have that on our Facebook advertising. So we're not playing around. We're being intentional about what we're asking people to sign up for. So hopefully you don't ever have to run into that again.
Yeah, so if they do, you know, you can still sell them on the idea of a Bible study. There's no cookie cutter way. You know, it's hard to teach this, because just like the lady I pulled in and told her I was here to sign you up for a Jehovah Mormon. And she's like, it's just different situations. You just got to learn to interact with people. If you can get them laughing and get them a little excited or interested, or catch them right off. I have the accent on my side, especially working up in the north, because they automatically want to know where I'm from. They usually guess Alabama or Texas or something.
Mississippi or something.
Mississippi, yeah. Something like that.
Pastor Jaime has a question.
Yeah, so what do you do if you go to a house, and the first day, it's a drop-off, and they tell you, I'm sick. She doesn't want to come out. She's sick. And then you come back again. You know they're in there. You see the screen door open. The door is open. You know they're in there, but they don't come out.
Well, I don't.
What do you? What do you think about that?
I don't leave a study if I'm not talking to the person I'm studying. I don't leave studies, but if they're not interested, I mean, they're not interested. The devil, we used to call them devil's rabbits in Pennsylvania. He will spend time chasing down people that are not interested at all, which is taking your time away from people who are actually genuinely interested that you could be studying with. So you don't want to just keep going back. I usually tell people, listen, if you decide you want these studies, I'll leave one. You call me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll check back in like another month or something. Hey, have you had a chance to think? But I'm not going every other day. And if you do have an in-home, the point is to move those into what I'm doing each week. Most of the Bible studies have question and answer on the back. So what I do each week is I have them fill out and answer those questions. So when you're going to the door, hopefully we don't have too many in-homes. Drop-offs, most of them's all in homes. But when I'm going to the door, what I'm doing is I am asking them, I grade it right there in front of them, and I'm able to discuss things. And then when I get to, like, say, lesson number 6, each time I'm going to the door, I'm asking them how their week's been. I'm developing a relationship since I wasn't able to get into the home. And then when I get to lesson 5, I'm able to say something like, you know, this next lesson is very important, and I really would like to have you clear an hour to sit down and allow me to study this with you. I'm free on, give them some options. Now, which one of those works for you? And usually they'll say, well, okay, because I just told them how important it is. And it is very important. I don't want to just drop the Sabbath off. Because after, have we covered how to do a Bible study? Is that coming up?
We're going to cover the question, tough questions. Pastor Walter did teach how to do a Bible study, but we're going to go into more depth, because a lot of the times we get stuck with some hard questions. So we'll be talking about that.
So that's one way the cards are easy Bible studies to get. When we don't have Bible studies, then we go out door knocking. And I have something that's in your book that I'm going to let a couple of you come up here and practice, but I'm going to practice it with Tony. This is great. It's a 2-minute survey, but when I actually start talking to you, it turns into a 20, 25, 30-minute survey, or Jaime. So,
real quick, before we start the survey, I want something. I need everyone here to hear something. All right? Do not. You're thinking about food right again. Do not take it personal if somebody rejects the Bible study. They are not rejecting you. They are rejecting God. All right, we pray for them, and we say, okay, God, we need to go be with someone else. Someone else needs you right now.
Yeah, my first Bible study that we were following up, I took my poor wife out for the first time ever. we stopped off, and she said, yeah, I want to go out with you and see what you're doing, and we'll go. So I went and knocked on the door, and I got bleep, 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 get off my bleep, 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 bleep. And Rebecca's like itching back, scared to death, trying to get into the car. And I said, dude, I'm not with the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, I hope you have a blessed day. And he said, well, fine, you have a blessed day too. But the very next study we went to, we ended up getting a Bible study. We studied with Carol. My wife went every week with me, and Carol is now a member of the church.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to knock on Pastor Jaime's door, and I'm going to talk him into a community religious survey, and I want to show you why these surveys are so good and how they work. And so,
yes, who is it?
Oh, hi, I'm Pastor Chris Trent, and I'm going around the community, and I'm doing a survey. It takes about 2 minutes. Can you give me about 2 minutes just to answer a few questions?
Sure.
All right. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
And you don't have to write down every word they say, because really what they're saying is not what's important. It's getting them to the point to agree to sign up for a Bible study. But I will mark things. I'm not going to sit and write. I'll just write real quick. All right, so I just ask him, do you believe in God? And he says yes. So this is a two-minute survey if he just answers really quickly, yes, no, yes, no. But watch, it's designed to get him thinking. Why?
Because God is good.
Amen. God is good, so that's why you believe him. So according to your understanding, who is Jesus? Is he Son of God, prophet, Savior, creator, just a man, fictional character? Who is Jesus to you?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. Amen. Good answer. Do you believe that Jesus is going to come back to earth again?
I don't know.
Well, if you thought that he would come tomorrow, would you do anything different?
Maybe.
All right. Is there a Bible in your home?
Yeah.
All right. How often do you read it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the answer most people give. Do you feel you understand the Bible as well as you would like?
Probably not.
And see, right here, without even finishing the survey, I could stop right here and offer him a Bible study, because he just told me he does not understand the Bible as well as he understands. And so now I could do it there, or I could keep going. All right, do you currently attend church?
Sometimes.
How often would you say sometimes is? Is that monthly, yearly, seldom?
Like twice a year, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, okay. Family stuff, you know.
I got you. All right. Were you raised in a Christian home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jaime, if you died tonight, do you feel that you would be saved?
I have no idea.
No idea?
No idea.
Jaime, if you had the opportunity, would you like to understand the Bible more and study it more?
Sure.
Well, Jaime, you're in luck, because our ministry, Amazing Facts, is actually offering in-home Bible studies to people in this community. You get a free Bible just for signing up.
Thank you.
And, Jaime, I am in this area on Mondays, and I have a 10 a.m. and a 2 p.m. open on Monday. Which one of those days works for you? Or which one of those times works for you?
Anytime. I just want to ask you, what church are you from?
We're with the Amazing Facts Ministries. Now, you see, I just avoided the question. But if he keeps pushing, I will tell him that I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, some people says, well, that's a little deceptive. And I say to that, you know, Jesus didn't go around and tell everybody, hey, I'm the Messiah, look at me. The reason I don't come right out and say it is because I don't want them to have preconceived notions. I don't want to leave and they get on the internet and look up Seventh-day Adventist as a cult, and they're getting all misinformation that isn't true, and therefore they end up not getting to learn these precious truths, all because it's something I can tell them later when I invite them to church on the Sabbath. And so I'm not being deceptive. I'm just not coming right out and saying it immediately. And that's hard, because people says, we should just boldly declare. Well, we do. Most of the time I do tell everybody I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, but at the same time, I don't want to alienate anybody before I even get a chance to tell them what I believe, why I believe it, And so most people will not ask what church you're from because I already identified myself. You can do it with the God Cares ministry, Amazing Facts, It Is Written. All these ministries don't care if you use their name. And especially if you're using their Bible studies, then that's going to look
really
even better.
They really love you.
And I love the Amazing Facts Bible studies. I did them so many times, I practically do them without even looking at the study because once you go over something repeatedly, it's embedded in you. And so I identify with Amazing Facts because that's the set of studies I like to use. And we don't take questions from Jim Buchanan. I'm kidding.
The one thing I'd like to share with you folks is the way Elaine and I do our surveys is when the question is asked, are you a seven, or what denomination are you? You know, we're told by Spirit of Prophecy not just to come out and say who we are. So what I'll say is, good question, I'm glad you asked. I say, well, I'm a little bit of Baptist because I believe in full immersion baptism. I'm a little bit of Presbyterian because I believe in full immersion. I mean, I believe in righteousness by faith. I say, I'm a little bit of Mormon because I believe that we need to be on our knees more than once a day. I said, I'm a little bit of Catholic because I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'll go on down the list, and then finally I get to the end, and I'll say, you know, I believe in 6 days God created the earth, the seventh day he blessed and sanctified it. So if you put all of those together, then I guess you could call me a Seventh-day Adventist. But the point I want to make to you is that we believe God has his people in all denominations, and there's a lot of truth in everything. So what I've done right there is I've allowed those people to see that I'm not there to take your faith away from you. So that's how we answer it.
So, Jim, I have a question for you. Have they ever asked you, what really are you? Are you all that?
Well, that's what I said. At the end, I say that would make me a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, but again, if you're identifying with a ministry already, like the God Cares or Amazing Facts, they're not going to usually ask again. It's very rare. If they do, I'll just reiterate again. Ma'am, I'm representing Amazing Facts Ministry.
And let's be honest.
And then the first lesson that I showed, they're going to get an Amazing Facts lesson guide each week. So if I'm doing It Is Written studies, then I'll say I'm with It Is Written, and they're going to get It Is Written stamped right on their study guide every week.
A lot of people already know who Amazing Facts is. So not everyone, but a big amount of people do. So let's just be honest. Oh, I come into contact with people in Charleston all the time. I watch that short little bald-headed pastor. He's so funny, and I love him. Well, he's the one who wrote these Bible studies. So we have, all right, we need volunteers now.
All right, who wants to come up and survey one of us? Come on up.
All right. Come on up, Donna. Hey, Jaime did a good job, right, everyone? All right.
You want to survey me or Tony?
Oh, do Chris. Yes. I like giving Chris a hard time. hold on. What level of difficulty should we make Chris, guys? Not what level of difficulty he is, but what level of difficulty should he be? Go medium.
Well, I want to trade places.
Oh, you want me to actually survey you? I got a mic. You hang on to yours.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Who is it?
It's Pastor Chris with Amazing Facts. I'm out in the community going around, and I'm doing a little two-minute community religious survey, and I was hoping you could give me 2 minutes to answer a few questions for me.
I suppose.
All right. Question number one is, do you believe in God? And actually, on this survey, what I would do first, I'm going right into it. I would go ahead and get her name or address and all that wrote down here. So I'd say, okay, can I get your name? And I'd get all that information, and then I would go into the survey. So I'm forgetting that. Let me add that in. That way, if she does sign up for Bible studies, I already have it all written down. And then if you look, it's got in-home and drop-off right at the bottom. It's got the time. You can go ahead and write that in. And then when you get back to your computer, you can put it in and make an appointment for that.
Which God are you talking about?
The God of the Bible.
The Mormon Bible or the which Bible?
The King James Version Bible.
Oh, yeah, I believe in him.
Okay, why?
Well, because I've done some studying, it seems like that's probably the religion that I think I could probably go with.
All right, that's a good answer. And I'll write down just a few words. I'm not going to sit and write out everything she says because some people will go in really deep and they'll give you a whole, and this 2-minute survey turns into, I've been at doors for 30 minutes. because they'll start giving you their life story, which is good. If I get somebody talking, giving me their life story, that person's going to be studying the Bible with me because they're already open for communication and talking to me and very comfortable with me. All right. According to your understanding, who is Jesus?
Well, the King James Version says he's the Messiah.
Okay, that's a good answer. Do you believe Jesus is going to come back to earth again?
Well, the Bible says so.
Okay, and if you thought he would come tomorrow, would you do anything different?
Well, I probably ought to get some things.
And almost everybody is going to want to do something different if they knew Jesus was coming tomorrow. Even those who've been in church for 20 years are going to say, yeah, there's probably a few things I want to take care of. And you're going to get a good conversation going there. Is there a Bible in your home?
I got several.
All right. And how often do you read it?
I think I read it last year.
Okay. Do you feel you understand the Bible as much as you'd like? And you'll have some people say yes to this question.
I think I do, because I've read several Bibles. You know, the Mormon, the King James Version.
Okay, so if they think she already thinks she knows all about the Bible, then I'm not going to challenge her on that. And then that cuts off my spot there to be able to ask her for a Bible study. Because she already says she knows it, so why am I going to offer to teach her something she already knows at that point? I don't want to insult her, so I'm not even... But that's the point I told you where you could ask for a Bible study if they said no, and you say, well, you're in luck then. Our ministry happens to be going around offering people, if she said no, but if she says yes, then I'm not going to challenge her on her understanding of the Bible and say, well, I know more than you, and let me tell you, I can teach you some things, young lady. That's not going to happen because the door is going to get closed in my face. All right. Do you currently attend church?
I kind of had church at home.
All right. So how often?
I watched some of the shows on television.
Praise God for those ministries.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. You never want to throw off on anybody else's church, anybody else's ministries, whatever they're following. I don't care if they say I got videos of David Koresh in there and I watch those and he's guiding me. I don't want to say anything negative. Like, you're watching that cult leader? Then I just lost her also. All right. How often do you have church at your house?
Well, whenever I just feel kind of down, I'll just, kind of.
And do you feel down quite often? Or?
Yeah.
And now I've got another chance to offer her a Bible study. I have some amazing Bible studies that is very uplifting, that's going to uplift your spirit, and I can offer it to her right there. All right. Were you raised in a Christian home?
Well, they said they were.
Okay. Praise God for that. If you died tonight, do you feel that you would be saved?
Well, I thought everybody was saved.
Okay. And what gives you this confidence that you're saved?
The Baptist Church said so.
Okay. Praise God for the Baptist Church. If you had the opportunity, would you like to study the Bible more?
I could probably teach you a few things, sure.
Oh, I would love to be able to sit down and learn some of the things you've been learning. That would be a grand opportunity for us to be able to study together. We could share each what we know. And so, anyways, I'm in this area every Monday, and around 2 p.m., I'm actually free. Do you have anything going on during that time? Can I stop by then?
Sure.
All right, I will see you 2 p.m., and I look forward to learning from you. You notice I didn't say, you can't teach me anything. I look forward. I want to hear her out.
Good job, Don.
And I want her to be able, I don't actually, hold one second, I don't actually challenge people. The last evangelistic meeting we did, there was a guy at Dr. LaVosa's church. He sat in the front row. He was challenging me on a bunch of stuff, but he was just spewing off things. And I told him, that's really interesting, sir. You go home, find it in the Bible, bring it back, show it to me so we can discuss it together. I'm sure he went home and found out that the things he was saying wasn't actually in the Bible because he never came back. And so but the dude was so upset that he was shaking while he was talking. I mean, he was literally, because he just heard truth that he'd never heard before, and it went against everything he'd been taught his whole entire life. The dude was shaking, so that wasn't a time for me to attack him and say, listen, you're wrong, what you're saying's not, blah, blah, blah. I just said, calmed him down, and I said, go home, research it, look over the study guides I'm giving out, and you come back and teach me.
Amen.
And so she's wanting to teach me. I want to learn. I want to develop a friendship with her, and I want to be able to get to know her on a personal level. And as I'm going each week, I'm learning more about her. Now, when I go in to do a Bible study, I don't just go in and say, open your book to Daniel chapter 2. I spend the first 15 minutes automatically, how was your week this week? Is there anything I can pray for you? And
that's called building a relationship.
Yeah, and you know, people will start sharing things with you, like, you know, my son's on drugs, or my daughter got arrested last week. Could we please pray for her? And things like that.
How about one more volunteer to actually interview Chris? Yes, question.
I realize these are just for training purposes, but we shouldn't ever do a Bible study by ourselves.
Right.
Well, exactly. So if you, there is times where I don't have somebody to go with me, and if I'm a male with a female, then I will take them out to McDonald's and sit in a, or the library is completely free. And but most of the time, Jesus sent everybody out two by twos, especially if you are a man and a woman sitting together. That's going to give the neighbors a bad idea. And so there's plenty of in public places if you're stuck, but you should be able to find somebody to go with you. But if it's just a have to case, then meet in a public place. Say, hey, I really want to do your Bible study today. My friend's not coming. Could you meet me at the local library? Could you meet me at McDonald's and buy him a coffee or something? And it's a blessing.
All right, volunteers. Couple volunteers. Grace?
Or a bacon cheeseburger.
All right. Hey, Grace put her hand up right away when I said volunteer. Let's right. take that young person.
All right.
Come on, Grace.
Come
and
on,
let's
Grace.
Have someone else come up with Grace. How about her pastor? Oh, yeah, I did that to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, the two of you, two together. We're not going to send a young girl by herself to meet this to this person. You approve it?
She approves this message.
This message has been approved by? All right. Chris, you're going to be difficult. Now be nice to her.
Come in. Oh, who are you guys?
Hi. My name is Grace Anacone. I'm here with my pastor and Pastor Gustavo Parada.
He looks like a criminal.
Can I be?
I want you guys to know that I'm armed.
Do you want to start again? Okay, start again.
All right, start again.
The same thing you said.
I'm going to be having a hard day this time.
And then what do I say after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll follow your lead.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you guys want?
Hello, my name is Grace Anacone. I'm here with my pastor, Gustavo. And we are here in the community, and we are
having a survey. Do you have 2 minutes for a survey?
Not really, but I'll do it.
Because you have nothing else to do, right?
Well, I was watching Bonanza.
Oh. This is better than Bonanza. So Grace here, she's going to tell you about the survey. Just a few questions.
So do you believe in God?
No.
Why or why not?
Because I've never seen God. Have you seen God? I've never felt God, and nobody's ever told me anything about a God. Where I'm here by accident, and this is it. I'm going to die, and then finally the misery's over.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It is. Go. No, no, no. You have to answer. You have to ask him.
So, according to your understanding, then, who is Jesus?
Jesus, he's a mythical guy that a bunch of people got together and made a hero out of because he was a nut job that went and got hung on a cross.
Okay. All right. Do you believe that Jesus will come to earth again?
I don't even know if he really was there the first time, let alone coming back again.
If you thought he would come tomorrow, would you do anything different?
If I thought a mythical guy would come tomorrow, would I do anything different? Well, let's just suppose that this Jesus that you speak of is real. Then I guess I'd be in a world of hurt.
Why is that?
Because I don't go to church. They're a bunch of judgmental people. Do you not see me and all these tattoos? If I walk into a church house, the roof would probably fall off.
Okay.
Or the place would burn down.
Okay. Have you ever been to church?
When I was a kid, my grandpa took me. But he was drunk all the time, so I don't know if he ever needed to go or not.
Okay.
He didn't get anything out of it.
Okay. All right. Next question.
Is there a Bible in your home?
No, I have no reason to read that nonsense. I don't even like reading.
Were you raised in a Christian home?
Our grandpa, I told you already, he took me to church some. Is this going to take much longer? Because I'm missing Bonanza.
No, it's just going to take just a few more questions and we'll be out of here.
Well, little Joe's in trouble and I need to get back.
If you died tonight, do you feel that you would be saved?
If I died tonight, would I be safe from what?
Well, saved.
I feel I'd be in the ground, and that'd be it.
Okay.
So I feel I'd be pretty safe, besides the worms eating me.
Okay. One more question, and then we'll let you go, because you'll probably have to go back to your show, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, you did say that your grandfather took you to church, right?
Yeah.
And you did say that there was, you know, your views on church and Jesus are not there. What is there something that would change your mind?
If you had proof.
Okay. If I have proof of what?
That God is real. That okay. The Bible is actually true.
Okay. Now, what if I tell you, what are you doing? Well, at this time, I know you're watching your show. What if I tell you on Monday at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Are you available?
Yeah, I think Days of Our Life goes off about that time. So I should be able to, yeah, okay. What do you want to do?
Let's go to, let's say, Panera Bread or McDonald's, and I'll get you whatever you want to eat. We'll sit down, and we'll talk about Jesus.
Can we go to Wendy's? Because they got that Baconator.
That's fine. I'll get it for you. It for you. So I'll bring my friend Grace. And we'll sit down, and you eat your bacon, we'll eat our salad, and we'll talk about Jesus.
Well, I guess if you want to talk about it, if I'm getting a free Baconator, I'm in.
Okay.
All right, some things I want to talk about here. First, any questions with what he just did? Because I'm going to be real right now, and Pastor Gustavo
handled that beautifully.
He handled it perfectly. Thank you, guys. You did a great job. We run into this at the door sometimes. Remember what we were talking about? Mute me up. I don't remember what we were talking about on Monday. People are broken. Chris gave you a premier example of someone who was broken at the door.
And listen, you may go to a couple of doors and fail, and that's fine. The more you do something, the better you're going to get at it. The more, whether you're a basketball player, whatever it is you strive to do, whether you knit, whatever it is, you didn't start out an expert at that. The more you practice something, the better you get it. Now, me and Tony can do this like the back of our hands because we've been doing it for quite a while, 8 years,
nine,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do this on a daily basis. And when we first started, I was striking out, strike one, strike two, strike three. But I started adjusting as I was getting better at it and learning how to answer.
Sometimes
better.
You'll have to ask a question that's not even on here. God might ask you to ask a question. We have two, three questions. We'll go
but
order...
You've seen how Gustavo took it. Now, he could have just said, if he just said, do you want Bible studies, I'd have said no. And he played it perfectly and said, what would you need to? And he opened up for me to be able to express my feelings. Because if he just said Bible studies, I'd have said, no, I don't know Bible studies. I just told you I don't believe in the Bible. Anyways, thank you guys for your time. I got to go see if little Joe gets saved.
Right. So let's go to the questions right first.
Okay, so you did say that at a certain point you can stop the rest of the survey and ask for the Bible. So, in the reverse, like they did with you, do you alter the questions after that if you know the person doesn't believe in God?
You can, yes. That's what he did. He altered that last question. Yeah. But there was no point there in me being that difficult that I could have stopped in the middle and offered him Bible studies because I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in Jesus. Why in the world would I want to study the Bible? But if most people you'll find are pretty religious, so by the time you get down to that question, how often do you read it or whatever? Do you understand the Bible as well as you would like? That's opening right there. If they say, no, I don't understand it, then you know what? You're in luck. If they've gave me all the right answers, yes, I believe in God. I believe he's the God of the Bible. Yes, he is the Messiah. Yes, he's coming back again. No, I'm a full Christian. Is there a Bible? Yes, I read it every day. And so now I'm open. I don't have to go through the rest of this survey. I don't really care what their answers are. What I care, and I do care, but the answers are not the most important part. Being able to share the truth with them is the important part, because the doctrine we hold, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And when I share my testimony later this evening, you'll see that this truth is the reason that I stand in front of you today. And it's powerful. You guys have the most powerful thing on the earth, and we keep it to ourselves. And I tell people all the time, you know, if I gave you the cure to cancer, you're going to go home, cure your own cancer, and just sit on it, and while people around you are dying everywhere? How cruel is that? You have the key to life, and we want to just sit on it. We should be out sharing it with everybody that'll listen. And if we did have the cure of cancer, there'd probably be some people saying, oh, they're nutcases, or don't listen to them. That's still not going to stop me from saving the ones that want to be saved.
All right, Rich, Don, and then I'm back.
After a couple of those answers, the rest of the questions really don't make any sense to ask.
If you're an atheist.
So what if we flipped over and went to the current events survey after the first, say, couple of questions that were so hard like that, and took it from a different angle and
right.
said, well,
There's multiple surveys that you can do that can fit your community, that can fit the time we're in. That's just a religious survey. If you would go with the current event survey, I mean, we can example that if we need to, if you want
us to. What I'm saying is, if you got a couple of really bad answers on the first couple of questions, the rest of the questions don't make sense to keep asking.
Right, exactly.
Well, even the answers I was given, they seemed like they were bad answers.
But if you flipped over to current events and took it from that perspective, look at what's going on in the world today. Do you feel comfortable with this?
Right. If you needed to switch it up, you could do that, yes.
Yep, you could. But you've seen, even though I was given horrible answers, which is rare. By the way, I gave you one of the most extreme cases. You're not going to get a lot of that. I gave you the biker dude covered in tattoos that never heard about Jesus. You're not going to run into that a whole lot. Most people have heard about Jesus. Most people believe that he exists, believe that a God does exist. They just don't actually go to church or follow it. And you've seen, even though I was one of the extreme, Gustavo handled it perfectly, went through the survey, and still ended up landing the study. Because I'm going to give him an opportunity to prove to me that God exists. Nobody, you know, I've talked to atheist people who say they're atheist, and then by the time we sit and carry on a conversation, we find out that they're agnostic and they're not really atheist. Because I tell them, you know, I'm amazed by your faith. I mean, to believe that something just appears out of nowhere magically, that's amazing. That takes a lot of faith to be able to believe that. I wish my Christian faith was that strong. I could just sit and wait for my Shelby Mustang to just appear in my driveway.
All right, next question. Let's keep this rolling. All right, Don.
I was just thinking, after some of those very difficult answers that you get, thank you for your honesty. I can understand how you might feel that way.
Yeah. Back with Clayton and Jim's next. After the guy. Go ahead.
So I had a quick question for you. Let's say you come into a circumstance where you're door knocking to find people who are interested. And let's say you come across a house or even just an individual who's interested to talk about you, but already avidly believes in a, let's say, version of Christ that isn't biblical. And let's say in the just your questionnaire, trying to understand their point of view, they're avidly trying to lure you into a conversation/question to manipulate it.
I've had that experience. I've knocked on some doors with Jehovah's Witness there, Mormon. The most interesting one was the Mormons. I want to be honest. And they tried trapping me. You got to stick to the truth. That's the bottom line. We have to stick to what's the truth of the Word of God, and we continue. But listen, there's a lot of things that can happen out of that. So try to keep it going the way you need to keep it going. But if it's just going to be a trap to lead you into a place, excuse yourself, thank them for their time, and go on.
And also, when you're doing a study, you're going to have a million questions that people are going to ask you. So what do you believe happens when you die? When do you think Jesus is going to come back? How many people you think's in hell right now? Who are the 144,000? Who do you think the Antichrist is? Is it Trump or Biden or whatever, you know? And so you're going to get a million questions, and the way you handle that is we're not skipping or going into answering questions. You know what? That's a really good question, and I got a study coming up on that, and I can't wait to study it with you. And you leave it at that. That's a really good question. We got a study coming up on that, and I can't wait to study it with you, because I don't want to put too much ahead. Too much light will blind people, just like coming out of a pitch black coal mine and into the light. It's kind of blinding if you've been down there and it's pitch black. And so too much light at once will blind people. You're going to do one study at a time each week, and a little light at a time as they can handle it.
All right, don't try to rush through and push ahead.
What if they agree to that study? Are you going to have that?
That was my next question to follow up.
If you go check the trunk of my car right now, I have a big folder thing in my trunk that has every study in it, and they're all Rolodexed and ready to go. They're actually in the trunk of my car. I carry them everywhere I go. I have a box of Steps to Christ. I have a box of Bibles in my trunk, and I have a box of some other Ellen White different books and things that I can give out. But yeah, I always have it. So here's the thing. When I do a Bible study, I never, ever give anybody a study guide until after I have studied the Bible with them.
Exactly.
I never hand them a study guide. I don't walk in and say, this is what we're going to be studying today, because I don't want them to study a study guide. I walk them through the study guide, have them look each thing up in their Bible. So it's not a study guide. It's not me. They're coming up with the answers themselves out of their Bible. And then at the end, I give them a study guide and say, here's everything we went over. And there's some questions on the back. If you've missed something, the answer is in the study guide, and I'll grade it when I come back. Because I'm just going to say, well, that's what your study guide says. I don't want you to read over a study guide with me. I want to look up each of the verses and read it from the Bible. And it's not what a study guide, it's not what I believe, but it's what the Word of God says. And let them explain it to you. So I never give anybody a study guide until after the study is done.
All right, amen. Last question, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah, I know, Chris, when you're up front, sometimes there's some things we forget, but I just want to bring to your attention there and the other folks. If you take someone out, a church member, to the door, they're so used to calling you pastor, and it's not good for them to say, I'm such and such, this is Pastor Jim, because the first thing happens, that person thinks, oh, okay, so what church do you pastor?
Yeah,
now you've already blown the whole thing. So just try to remember that. And the second thing is, what we would do is, when we knock on the door, I'm Jim, this is my wife Elaine. We're here in the community doing a religious survey because we want to see what kind of beliefs are in our community. So it kind of just eases it that you're just a...
Beliefs.
Beliefs?
Yep. Go ahead, Jim.
Your beliefs.
Yeah.
And,
right.
So one last thing. So also when every question on that survey is there to help me identify that person. You know, even though they give me the wrong answer, I'm not going to go, that's the wrong answer. I just let them go. But it's telling me a lot about that person. One of the questions, I think, is what religion are your parents? They say, I'm Catholic. Are you Catholic? No, I'm Presbyterian. Oh, okay, I got somebody that's open that I can talk with. So those questions are there for a reason. It's try to dialogue, to get into a conversation with those people.
All right, guys, let's take a 10-minute break. Please be faithful to get back here on time, and we'll start our next presentation.